Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome to After Six. Michael Leibowitz is here. Leibowitz, the philosopher, the political philosopher, the prisoner, the articulate communicator, the regular guest here on WTIC. What's up, Michael?
Not too much. It's kind of hot in here, and this stupid mask on my face isn't helping matters. But other than that, I'm okay.
Yes, it is. Things have warmed up, and you're in a facility with no AC. So let's talk some political philosophy and tie it into everything that's going on.
Okay, so I've called your show a couple times lately, and one of the things I had told you is that I'm perfectly fine with Confederate statues coming down. And I'm also in, on a general level, I'm in support of the Black Lives Matter movement as it pertains to stopping police brutality. Not, you know, the other political agenda they have, no. But my point is that the two positions I've just stated are usually associated with the left, and I couldn't be farther from the left. My political principle, as it, in its fundamental form, that I derived from Ayn Rand, is that no person has the right to initiate force against another person, but people have the right to defend themselves if force is initiated. From that grows an entire political apparatus where the government is there to protect our rights, and this leads to capitalism in its purest form.
Okay, so go back over your opening statement again so everybody understands exactly what the positions are that you're referring to that okay. that are ambidextrous in terms of which side claims them.
Okay, so I'm all for statues coming down, Confederate statues. I don't really care about the Columbus statue. These things are meaningless to me. And I'm for the Black Lives movement insofar as it's fighting against police brutality. Anything beyond
okay,
that.
Okay, so, but explain those. What is your, let's dive into the statue thing a little bit. Why are you saying you don't mind them coming down because you understand they could be insulting to people, or you are excited they're coming down? What exactly are you thinking on that, and what's the underpinning for it?
Okay, I'm not adamant about statues coming down. I think that they should. Ultimately, Confederate statues, you're talking about people that were traitorous to this country, and you're talking about people that defended slavery. And that has a significant, it hurts people. It doesn't hurt me because I didn't suffer the slavery. But I often hear white people talking about things that black people shouldn't be offended by. And I find that kind of offensive because, they've suffered the history of slavery and Jim Crow and whatnot. And it's understandable to me that they would find these statues offensive. As a Jew, I would find it offensive if somebody, wanted to wave the Nazi flag or raise the statue of Hitler. So I can understand why that would be hurtful to them. And from my political point of view and the things that I want to accomplish, statues are so irrelevant that it's like, let them go. And for people who argue about how, that blacks shouldn't take offense to them, they're not that serious, I would turn around and say to them, well, if they're not that serious, why not let them go? Because obviously they have some kind of symbolism to the people that want them, and I think that those people should recognize that they have the opposite type of symbolism to a lot of people in this country.
Well, that last point could be where you get a little pushback, because there is a lot of this stuff that isn't pushed actually by the aggrieved class of people, but rather than the political class, which sees a way to polarize and create political divisions and thus political loyalties by trumping up issues that really are non-existent, but you can transfer emotion over to them. And I view the tearing down of statues very much through this prism, that it's a fabrication of the left as a way to cover up their own culpability when it comes to the abuse of people based on socioeconomic class and skin color.
Well, you won't get an argument out of me that the left likes to exploit that stuff, but I know from talking to people in here, actual black guys, that it's offensive to them. A guy actually said to me yesterday, if a white person can't see why Aunt Jemima's offensive, then there's really nothing I can say to him. I mean, I remember this guy.
Well, they could start by explaining, I guess, why it's offensive, and then there might be some common ground. I would like to hear them try to explain.
Yeah, I think that that's good, and I think that that's why it's good that you're having different viewpoints come on your show so that we can understand. That's why I don't. A lot of people seem to get angry when you put people on with different points of view. I love it, even if I disagree with the point of view 100%.
You're right. It's important to flesh these things out. And I'm not saying it's good to have Aunt Jemima around. I haven't really thought about it that much because I tend to think about things that are important. It sounds pompous, but I don't mean it that way. I just mean I care about race relations in this country, and I want to see it not be trivialized into a cheap political issue, and rather to have the serious parts of it dealt with. And I don't see Aunt Jemima as a serious part of it. Just because it's been around since the 1880s, it's a relic of the past. It's possible and reasonable, I guess, to be offended by it. It's also reasonable to be of the group of people who could be offended by it and shrug your shoulders and say, that's not important. I'm more concerned with the way police behave in America today or the criminal justice system. Let's talk about something serious.
I agree with most of what you said, but it's all part of the same dynamic of feeling that you're in a country that doesn't accept you, that will disrespect you and trivialize you and allow the police to do things to you. And to me, there's so many more important things to work on that a concession over a statue is nothing. Why waste my time arguing? Even if I wanted them to stay up, why argue about it? Who cares? There's no political principle there. I think it'd be much more effective if we show people that are in traditionally, what's the word I'm looking for here, oppressed communities, that there is a better way, that through free enterprise capitalism, they could raise themselves up out of that poverty. And if we can make those arguments to them and demonstrate that we might agree with the illness, but we disagree with the left considerably about the appropriate treatment. And to be quite honest, we disagree. I think you and I would disagree a lot with people on the right with some of the things that they would advocate.
Well, I think it's maybe the challenge is the same for both sides. It's interesting what you're saying. And that's basic. So I said on the air the other day when we were talking, Aunt Jemima, that I don't care if those companies decide to change those names because nothing in the world is changed substantially by taking the picture of Aunt Jemima, the graphic, off the box and calling it something different, except for the feelings of those people you're referring to. And I want to be respectful of those feelings because I don't want a lack of understanding each other's perspectives to continue to stand between us. And that's why I'm pushing back against conservatives who are looking at this as just another moment that requires us to go into a defensive stance. And I don't think that's the right strategy, to just use the same talking points that we always use and hide behind our bubbles of insulation that allow us to not be affected emotionally. I think we need to force ourselves to be affected emotionally, to try to walk emotionally through the shoes of those who find our society to be a heinous one, so that we can walk with them and find the solutions you're talking about. Because I don't see how we get to common ground if we're standing on such polar opposite sides of the debate.
I agree, and that's why, to me, things like statues are an easy concession to make. That means little to me, but would mean a whole lot to those people. It's funny, I was just reading in the Federalist Papers, I think it's Alexander Hamilton, and he was talking about at the men that fought the Revolution. And he said these men, I'm paraphrasing now, basically these men have no unnecessary adoration for custom or history. They're starting a new government that's never been experienced anywhere in the world. And they want to set us off on the right foot, you know, a moral society, one based on liberty. And that's what it reminds me when people want to hold on to customs, that Confederate customs, first of all, they're traitors, like I said. They were defending slavery. Let's let it go. It's meaningless. Let's move on and establish better things. And I think that we can make arguments, for instance, about minimum wage or payroll taxes or income taxes or the war on drugs. that are effective but may not be listened to if we start off with the stance, oh, you're not going to touch my statue, or, oh, how dare you change Aunt Jemima, or how dare you complain about our police. We have to acknowledge the pain that people feel and actually try to help them move through it, and then maybe they'll be more receptive to the effective arguments that we have.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. The trouble is that what gets triggered inside of people is a fear of the slippery slope. There's so much. For example, talking with minorities who feel frustrated by the way they get treated in this country and agreeing to things like taking down statues because it means a lot to them ignores the fact that most conservatives view things like removing statues of American patriots, founding fathers. See, there is no end point to any of these arguments. We've watched through decades, and we continue to see how they keep slipping further into what seems to be rooted into a contempt for America, contempt for liberty, even a contempt for democratic-based society, as opposed to rigged political systems, which the Democrats work every day to try to take any advantage they have to steal more power that they don't deserve, to do it illegitimately, to rig systems, to destroy the mechanics of how the people's will gets expressed. And indeed, when we look at this whole police debate, what we're looking at in this police debate is police organizations that don't allow in the best interest, don't operate in the best interest of the people who pay their salaries, who they are paid to protect. They abuse the people who they're paid to protect and who pay their salaries because they are protected by police unions and the infrastructure of democratically controlled cities.
You have 1 minute left.
So how do you join the fight to protect blacks when blacks are joining the fight with the Democrats, when they're partners with the Democrats, essentially, because they vote for them so overwhelmingly? We're talking to Michael Leibowitz. Perhaps you can respond to that if you can call back, Michael.
I will respond quickly, though, in one sentence. You respond by fighting for what's right, first, last, and always. And I'll call you right back and elaborate.
The caller has hung up.
I believe that Michael Leibowitz just did a tease. That was pretty cool. Michael Leibowitz is here. He just called back. We only get 15 minutes per recording. Well, per phone call. He only gets 15 minutes, so we have to reconnect. What was that little tease you gave us, Leibowitz?
Well, you asked me how can we fight for the blacks who are siding with the Democrats against us. And my point is, you fight for what's right, regardless of what people do. And police brutality is wrong, regardless of who it's against or who they support or anything else. So is racism. These things are unethical and illogical. And we should always strive to have reason and right on our side. And as long as we do that and make our best arguments, you know, if we don't win, well, then the world's doomed. But it's our only shot. You know, but as far as the conservative argument, I want to just say that. As I want to see things from one perspective, I think it's important also to see things from a conservative perspective and understand that they love this country and they feel this country has done a lot for them and they don't want people disparaging this country. I understand that. That's understandable to me. The slippery slope argument, I also think it has some merit. However, I think that if we use our reason and apply principles to individual situations, the slippery slope doesn't have to wipe everything out. It's like some people look at the police as they do no wrong, and some people look at them, oh, every time there's a police shooting, it's wrong. Well, no. Sometimes these shootings are no good. Sometimes they're good. We have to look at them. We have to listen to the evidence and figure out which ones are good and which ones aren't. And it's similar with the slippery slope if you bring back, like, the statues or the money. The people who I talk to have no desire to see statues of Thomas Jefferson come down or George Washington come off the money. And the difference is, far from being traitors to this country, these guys were the founders of this country. And while they did own slaves, that was their hypocrisy. That was not their ideal. The ideals that they fought for, and in Jefferson's case, Jefferson actually fought in court for the rights of slaves. He argued to end slavery. He never bought a slave himself. He inherited them. I'm not justifying his slaveholding. I'm just stating the fact. And ultimately, they laid a foundation that they knew would lead to the end of slavery. So when you compare that to guys who turned on the country, didn't want to be a part of it, and fought to separate in order that they could hold slaves, to me that's not even a comparison. And the Jefferson thing and the Founders thing, it's not really something to worry about.
Well, also, if you defend the, if you compare the Founders, hold them up against the leaders of cities today where blacks tend to live and suffer the consequences of their allegiance to the Democratic Party. There's certainly, I mean, I believe that we will look at this era as a very bad one for blacks in America, not because of the police stuff alone, but the entirety of how government policy has turned them into dependents on the state and left them in areas where they have little chance to advance as Americans in the way Americans have always done, which is to seize opportunity based on your own ingenuity and your education and your wits, rather than to have things handed to you by the government. And the fact that cities have been converted over into these dependency zones, government dependency zones, I think will be viewed as racist and destructive in a big way when we have the chance to look back on it through the rear view mirror.
Well, maybe, but we also have a chance to alter that. It hasn't happened yet, but we have a chance to make it something different than what you just said. And you know that saying from Rahm Emanuel, never let a crisis go to waste?
Well, of course. Yes, everyone knows it. Well, I thought you were asking rhetorically.
No, I was asking you. I wanted to, that's usually taken as a cutthroat Machiavellianism. But I think there's also some truth to it. And right now, there's a crisis going on in this country. And it's a hell of an opportunity to side with those people who are oppressed and show them that there's a better way than what the Democrats have been offering them for the last, 50 years or whatever it's been. But we waste this opportunity if we spend our time, instead of arguing about the merits of capitalism, and we argue about the merits of long-dead Confederate soldiers and generals.
I agree with that. And that's, I view my role as on the radio. We're talking to Michael Leibowitz. I view my role on the radio as trying to get people to see that and trying to get out of their dugout habitual positions. Many of their instincts are ones I have to fight off within myself and to open our hearts up to the complaints, as you indicate, Michael, of those who are our fellow Americans who live in the same political areas we do and suffer the bad consequences that we don't because they happen to be of a particular race or be of a certain socioeconomic class. Whatever the cause is, we should all be working with each other rather than turning our backs. Especially since, by the way, political people can't be trusted at all. And most of their behavior is malicious and works to prop up the status quo without regard for how bad the status quo is.
Yeah, and the status quo is what needs to go. And, the arguments for liberty, Todd, I feel are so powerful. I've never had them, I shouldn't say never, but I had a very powerful experience one time. I was watching CPTV, and they had a special on Reconstruction. And a friend of mine, a black friend, watched it also. And in that, they discussed the Black Wall Street that's been in the news lately. And all the successes that former slaves had and their descendants in this area when they were just allowed to be free. And I pointed out to them, you see, they didn't need welfare. They didn't need affirmative action. All they needed was the sweet breath of freedom. That's it. And the only thing that was able to snuff that out was the white people that couldn't compete with them, so they went in there and resorted to violence and the police didn't protect them. But if back then freedom was able to produce such powerful results, imagine what it can do today when they've already got capital. There's many people in the black community that have capital stored up. I think it would unleash an amazing thing, and I think that's what we need to be fighting for.
Yeah, so that's well put. How did you get, as somebody who's spent 22 years in prison, Michael, it's ironic that having gone in when you were a young man in your early 20s, that you were able to latch on to notions of liberty and be somebody who espouses it so beautifully when you live without it. Is there any connection between those two things?
I would say yes. It makes me appreciate freedom more. Like, I just want to be left alone. Just let me associate with whom I want, deal with whom I want, and leave me alone. But another big part of it was, I mean, I've done a lot of reading and a lot of arguing with Brent McCall, another guest of yours. You know, we would have some pretty heated debates, much like the ones that you have on the air, because we ultimately were working through ideas. And I have to say, I'm better for every single one of those arguments. Whether I was wrong or right, it helped me to clarify things in my own mind. And that's why it's very important to allow different points of view. And I know that the left right now, through colleges and the media, they're trying to stifle people's ability to speak. And I'm just very glad that you're not doing that and not caving into any of the pressure from some of your callers who, I guess the guy said yesterday, he just wants to listen to you so that he can hear what he agrees with. I think that's just pig-headed and backwards.
That was quite remarkable, wasn't it?
Oh, my God.
Yes. The free exchange of ideas is the most important of all market-based systems, but all market-based systems are the most important thing we have for us as a group to decide what it is we will think, read, speak, eat, and otherwise consume is just the most amazing innovation for how mankind can operate in large groups. Michael Leibowitz, thank you, sir. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you. Keep fighting for capitalism, Todd.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.